One, two, three. That is our count into the second hour here on the Creative City Show as we close out our 10 of 10 of this week's show. Every day we are on 10:30 The Voice, Monday through Friday, 10A to 12P, talking about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the themes and issues important to getting us there. But one of the things that I get to do on this show that I think is unique to the Creative City Show is to spotlight the creative people and artisans and artists and ideas that are in Tucson, because Tucson is a creative city. It really is. There are some things bubbling up that are not always easy to see, but part of my job here is to be a super sleuth and to meet those people, to see what they're up to, and then to have those conversations here on the air where everybody can listen and see. So this first part of the hour is what I get to do, and I'm excited about it. I've interacted with both my guests in different ways before, but it's really cool to kind of all be in the studio together talking about Black Renaissance, a May series in Tucson showcasing arts from the Black community in Arizona. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. I'm going to do this a little bit differently. You tell me your own bios. We'll start with the gentleman on my left.
I am Sean Louis. A musician, artist in Tucson. Started the Black Renaissance out of the idea of spotlighting Black artists, because I didn't see anything happening in downtown Tucson. It was discouraging. So
you solved that problem. I'm looking forward to getting into your story in a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because I was reading, there was an article. Was it in Tucson Weekly, or it was in one of the news platforms here in town? They did a story about how this all came about.
Word.
Yeah, have you read it?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. I was like, I need.
I will say we've done a lot of interviews and stuff. So like, people ask me, I go through my mind like, okay, which one are you talking about? No, for sure.
But I will share that article about yourself.
But I can't have. I wouldn't have been able to do this by myself.
Yeah.
This lovely young lady.
Yeah,
to my left.
We have the duo.
Yeah.
Ashley.
Thank you, Sean Louis, and thank you, Zach, for having us on this morning. My name is Ashley LaRussa. I am an entrepreneur and small business owner for Rue Events, where we specialize in diversity and inclusion. And that's why when Sean Louis had this call of a community coming together and celebrating Black artists, I wanted to sign on immediately.
Very cool. And your team?
Tag team duo.
Tag team.
Indeed.
And I love the spot, too. We'll get into the spot as well. But Hotel McCoy, great venue.
Oh, yeah.
In town. It's amazing. So maybe if we can circle back to Sean Louis, how this came to be. Can you go into a little bit more detail, some of the initial conversations you have? I kind of queued this up at the end of the last hour. My eyes were really opened to the impact and influence and kind of heritage and legacy of the Black community in Tucson through my conversation with Debbie Chesmaby from the Dunbar probably about a year ago when this show was on the weekend. And I just had no idea. And I think a lot of people don't have any idea of the history of the community. And what I hear from my friends in the community is that when they come, like Debbie did, come from Chicago or from other places, they kind of expect to like be able to go to an area of town or a place around town and be able to find kind of a concentration of the arts and culture of the Black community. But it's not, there's not many places of that where that's true in Tucson,
yep.
Which is kind of why you had the reaction you did at first. Maybe we can dive in with that being the context.
Yeah, I've been here for about 8 years now, I would say off and on. Like every good Tucsonian who's not from Tucson, I came here. Then 2 years later, I would leave, and then I give some reason I would come back. I'd find myself in Tucson.
Yep.
And I kept noticing that I was the only Black person in every single space. Now I'm a musician, so in my quote unquote scene, that's a very normal thing. I was in the indie music scene. I was probably one of mm-hmm. three Black people inside the indie music in this scene, but being inside Tucson in itself, especially in the downtown scene, I kept hearing, I kept seeing, hip hop nights, kept seeing, stuff that is, derived from Black culture, but I wouldn't see any Black people. I thought that was also really weird. My frustration overflowed when I just didn't see any events happening and for a Black History Month in February. It was just discouraging. So I quickly just hit up my friend David Pike from the screening room and said, I think I want to throw an event. I was doing an open mic at the time. So I'm going to take the open mic date and highlight Black artists. So I just started, you know, going out every single night, trying to find Black people. And then we ended up having that same that night. And the response was so overwhelming that I said, okay, if we can do this for a whole month and not just do music, but highlight the arts, what Black people bring to the table in creativity, you know, in business, you know, as well, you know, regarding that kind of stuff, I thought it'd be awesome. And so that's where the Black Renaissance was created. It's created out of me just seeing the need. You know, I think one of the cool quotes I heard someone tell me once is like, if you want to find out what you want to be good at, just like find out what makes you angry. And that kind of made me, I was like, dang it. I was like, there should be something inside, you know, downtown, especially in downtown scene. Now I want to give credit to the Dunbar Pavilion and to others that have done amazing events on, you know, to the east side, north side, and south side of Tucson and the west side of Tucson, because those stuff needs to happen. But as far as the downtown scene, where a lot of the people from outside of Tucson come and they want to experience Tucson, I think Black people make up Tucson just as much as anyone else. And so it's important that we have, in a representation in that capacity. And so Black Renaissance was created out of that need.
Right. Well, you're wearing a shirt that says hashtag the Dunbar.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm curious, and we might need you a little closer to the mic to make sure we catch everything. Well, what was your part in the story here? So Sean Louis kind of introed how we got to the idea. What was the story of you getting looped into it?
Well, I loved how Sean Louis put out the call. It was on Facebook, and I had newly joined Facebook only about a month in, mostly for my business to represent and start to build contacts and connections. I saw the post from Sean Louis really putting out the vision of how he really wanted to highlight and uplift the local Black artists. And coming from a position of, in my previous occupation as a downtown projects manager, I saw those demographics and statistics where under 4% here locally and in Arizona was our African American presence, our Black presence. So when Sean Louis put that vision out of making sure we were gathering and spotlighting and celebrating, I felt as a first event, being an events management company, that this would be a wonderful opportunity. Again, with Rue Events, the mission is to uplift and support community leaders. And I feel like Sean Louis and Debbie Chess and Sam Brown and other local Black leaders here are really on the cusp of uplifting a lot of individuals here who have been underrepresented. Why not take a first event here with Rue, the Road of Positivity? The positivity of us coming together here locally and showcasing not only the arts, but the business aspect. Mm-hmm. So with Sean Louis, a little bit of the art side and a little bit of the business, why not promote?
Wow, that's cool. And congratulations for starting your business and starting out on your own. Excited. That journey is exciting. It's exhilarating. It needs a lot of local support. And just excited that you're on the journey. I know it was a dream of yours and happy that you're there.
Yes, indeed. And thank you again, Zach, because it wouldn't be possible without the community. And here in Tucson especially, we tend to really spotlight those small business owners and entrepreneurs. And the fact that there are so few Black owners and Black businesses is another initiative that Black Renaissance has partnered with, which is Black Friday. This came out of a friend of ours' initiative of making sure to spotlight Black-owned businesses. And why not support at least weekly these locally owned businesses? Mm. So the best part of this partnership with Sean Louis and Black Renaissance was the opportunity of the partners and the sponsors. One of those huge partners being Hotel McCoy.
Yeah.
For giving us the equity, the access to be able to spotlight these artists. I'll let Sean Louis speak more towards Hotel McCoy and their general management, but a huge shout out to Nicole and her team over there.
Awesome. Shout out to Nicole. If you're just joining us, you are listening to my interview with Sean Louis and Ashley from Black Renaissance. This is kind of the power duo making it happen. And it is a, at least for now, it is a every Friday of May. It is not.
Every Saturday in May.
Every Saturday in May. Got it. Every Saturday in May. I have a different part of my notes pulled up. Thank you for. Thank you. But that's why you're here, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make sure that it gets right. Every Saturday in May.
Right.
And we'll get to some of the details before we close. But I really want to get the story of this. Started out by really Sean Louis' desire to see the Black arts and culture really spotlighted here. And you put up a Facebook post about this, Sean Louis, sharing your desire to showcase Black artists in Arizona. Within an hour, you had more than 130 shares.
It was crazy.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, I mean,
that's not what you expected.
I thought four people would be like, hey, I want to do something. And I would have a, do it in a coffee shop. But it was such an overwhelming, thing that I honestly did sit back, and it was, it was emotional. Like, okay, this idea is not just a random idea. It's something that we've all thought about. It's an idea that, that is, it's here. It's come.
Right. So when you looked at who was sharing that, from what you knew of your friends or your connections, who were the people most resonating with that Facebook post?
It was everybody. It was everyone from the community. And that's what I think, that there are Black people inside Tucson. And so what's happening is that Black people, we don't know each other, but other people know of Black, Black mm-hmm. people in the community. And so what that post just did, it just connected us together. And it was really cool to see the Tucson community as a whole go, we love this. Here are some people that we believe that would be great for this event. And
right.
they did all the legwork. And I'm, I'm forever, forever, forever grateful for that.
For sure. I want to make sure that we talk a little bit of the details in this segment so everyone can kind of get a feel for when it is. It is every Saturday.
Yeah.
It says that in a purple color on your promo. I mean, it stands out. Again, I had a different part of my notes up. I can read. Every Saturday in May from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. free event at the Hotel McCoy. Tell me about the Hotel McCoy and why this was the location that made the most sense for you guys.
That's a great question.
Ashley said you were going to talk about it. So
yeah.
The spotlight is on you, my friend.
Nicole Genevieve, she's become a fast dear friend of both of ours. And she latched on to the idea. And it seemed like it was just a natural thing based off of our, our breadth of this friendship and this relationship between myself and Nicole and Ashley Nicole, that we'd have it at Hotel McCoy. Hotel McCoy is a newly renovated hotel that is has a ton of art from the local community. And so having a Black Renaissance event that spotlight different artists was only seemed a natural thing to do. It was technically kind of like the next step of what I believe what Nicole wants to do. She wants to start having artists and spotlighting different people in the community that do just really cool stuff. And so she quickly latched onto the idea and said it was good to go.
What's wonderful also about Hotel McCoy's spotlighting of artists and the community wall is that they don't take a commission,
yep.
Which is super important, especially for up-and-coming artists mm-hmm. who need, the total of that pricing on their works. What's also beautiful about Hotel McCoy is their own revitalization. Coming from 1970s type of inn mm-hmm. and motel to more of a boutique hotel, spotlighted here and now a tourist destination for Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So with the revitalization of Hotel McCoy and the rebirth and renaissance of the Black community here, it felt like a perfect partnership.
Wow, that's really cool. And it's on the west side of town too. It's on the west side of the freeway
off the freeway, yeah.
It's Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just south of A Mountain
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
So just to give people kind of a where it's at right off the highway. And I've gotten to go there and visit. It's a really cool
spot. It's a really cool spot.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's stuff that I don't think Tucson has seen for a little bit.
Yep.
Well, Tucson always had this kind of gritty, cool art and music culture. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of a new expression of that is the best way that I can explain it. And
sure,
people should go check it out. It's really cool.
Yes, please go check it out. This place is awesome. I'll be there.
Well, I hope so. This wraps up part one of my conversation with Sean Louis and Ashley about Black Renaissance, celebrating Black artists in Arizona. Every Saturday in May from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., it's a free event at Hotel McCoy. When we come back from the break, I'm curious about the different artists that have come through, and I know we're on the back half of that series now in the month, but who's come in, who's surprised you, what kind of artistry is happening, and as you've seen the Black community in Tucson come from the different areas of town that they're in, who are you seeing in the space and what's surprising you? I'm curious to kind of get, now that we've set up the background, curious to get how this has gone so far and what it tells you about going forward with the Black community in Arizona.
I'd love to speak to that, especially the first weekend, Hip Hop Night. It was such an exquisite exchange of artists, especially with the all ages. So they were people who normally wouldn't go out or go to events because it wouldn't be, 18 and up. It'd be more 21 and up. So the fact that there were hip hop artists that were able to spotlight themselves in an all ages venue also opened it up to the tourists there. Mm-hmm. So families are able to attend as well. So we had a few babies,
That was really cool.
let's dive into that kind of stuff after the break. This is really cool. So let's do that after the break. Part one is down. Part two is coming up. Tucson, do not go away. You're on 1030 The Voice. Trust it. Local news and talk. See you on the other side. Tucson, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to my conversation with Sean Louis and Ashley from Black Renaissance, a every Saturday in May series from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Hotel McCoy that celebrates and spotlights Black artists in Arizona. And if you're just joining us, the story behind this is Sean Louis specifically was basically looking for different opportunities, looking for collections of, looking for the expression of Black artists and Black culture and Black community in Tucson, and saw a very disparate, very disconnected, very unknown community that wasn't connected. You put out a post on Facebook about doing something like Black Renaissance and had 130 shares within an hour. Blew you away, and that took us to this May series, and that took us to this interview.
Yeah.
And that's, if you're just joining us, that's the point where we are at. And I'm curious, and I'll let you decide which one starts, is who are some of the artists? You mentioned that most of the responses come from Tucson, a little bit in Phoenix.
Yeah.
The language is explicitly is not just Tucson, it's Arizona, so you're getting some from Phoenix, but the dominant participation is coming from Tucson.
Yeah.
What are some of the artists and artistry and culture that is coming together that has surprised you or that you've enjoyed at Black Renaissance?
I love the hip hop community. It's been really, really cool to see the response from them. We had Chakra Blue, Jaka Zulu, Kaslansky, and Kaiser perform at the first night. It was a packed house. It was so amazing.
I know all of them.
Yeah, yeah. But there,
thank you for not just dismissing that right away.
No. Every single artist, they're amazing, and that's what I think is really cool about this event is that there's these gems inside Tucson, and every single of these artists, they have their own audience, and they bring in a ton of people on their own, and it was really cool to see them all come together, and some of them not know each other. That's how disconnected the Black community is. These people have their own audience. They bring a lot of people to their own shows, and then together they don't know that the other people exist. So that was really, really cool to see them all come together and just pack out the place. It was really cool. The second night was our spoken word night, which was such a spiritual experience. It was different. Every single night has a different vibe, and I think that's really cool about curating this event. Every single night has a different vibe, and the second night was just so cool. An amazing spoken word artist named Teray, he just destroyed the house, took the house down. Stevie Rose, Freddie Walker, Shirvana, Peace Avant.
The Guzman brothers.
Oh my gosh, Andreas.
Andreas blew the house out. Andreas is a local force to be reckoned with. He's an activist and very great spoken word artist. His poetry and words were truly uplifting.
Yeah, it's Stephanie Leonga as well, just a comedian.
Local black comedian.
Wow. It was just such a great, I'm getting excited just talking about it. It was such a great experience. And that was packed too. We were turning people away at the door. That's how packed it was. And that's why I feel like, again, the Black Renaissance, we all understand there's a need of that and we all want it. And the community as a whole, the event wasn't just the Black community was there. It was tons of other people from other communities coming together to spotlight and celebrate Black artistry and in spoken word and in hip hop. I know for sure that this week will be the exact same thing. There'll be a packed house and that the community will respond to the celebration of Black artists.
Wow. And I just want to highlight that you don't have to be a part of the Black community to attend.
Exactly.
I want to highlight that this is that you've designed this to be inclusive of all backgrounds.
Yes.
You just want to kind of check out and be a part of this renaissance, as you put it. I just wanted to highlight that.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And speaking to this Saturday, Black Museum, what an awesome opportunity for especially these type of artists, because there's so few that get spotlighted in venues. There tends to be just a reoccurring scene or a list of artists that are pulled and used in venues. So the fact that all of these local artists are going to be able to be showcased. Just to name a few, locally here, Roland Brooks, Elizabeth Deneau.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Louis getting excited.
Yeah, because they're all, I'm saying, these are all extremely high quality artists.
Yes.
Gyms inside the desert that I didn't know about. And that's what makes me so excited, because I can't wait to show people, look what's here.
Right.
This high level, man, high level.
One of the artists that will also be showcased this weekend goes by Sketch 71. He's been here locally in the Tucson scene since the 90s. Mm-hmm. He was a huge force in the hip-hop culture and doing the airbrush painting of shirts and apparel. So to have him come back and actually have some pieces to showcase on canvas, as well as doing his T-shirts, it's just another awesome opportunity and a local artist to spotlight.
Interesting. So what I'm feeling on this side of the mic, my reactions are twofold. One is I'm not the most connected guy. I don't know everybody, but I'm very engaged. And even through this platform, I get to meet a lot of people. I don't know anybody that you're talking about. And so part of me is I don't get the benefit of curating like Sean Louis. So I'm like, man, why don't I know about these artists? The flip side of that is I've often talked about, and I truly believe this, Tucson is an amazing community because it is so easy to be a part of the community, right? Like, there's not this massive red tape in front of you if you move in or you're in Tucson. Like, you can get involved really, really, really easily. The flip side of that is what I'm feeling as I'm talking to you both, is that you start to get a list of usual suspects, if you know what I mean, that are hanging around in the same circles, doing the same thing. When you talk about downtown or Tucson Renaissance or Tucson moving forward or who's shaping the conversation in Tucson, it's an easy conversation to break into, but often it's the same folks having the same conversation. Does that make sense? So because it's so easy to be a part of, it's also so tight-knit, which means that I think a lot of these other people's stories don't often get told. There's often this perimeter that no one sets up on purpose. At least I think so. Maybe you would disagree. I don't think anyone's trying to keep anything or anyone out explicitly. There's just so much in Tucson that we haven't discovered because of how tight-knit it is. And that's what I'm realizing in this conversation with you, and why I appreciate how you are bringing out different active members of our community that aren't in kind of the mainstream of Tucson. Does that make sense?
No, totally, totally. And that's what I'm realizing as well, is that even in the network of downtown, there's 19 different downtown scenes in that downtown scene who are only connected by maybe 4 or 5 people in the mix. Right. So if you're I'm in the indie music scene, I'm not going to really know any of the muralists, like Allison Miller, who has some of the top has some of the the biggest mural inside Tucson at the moment. I wouldn't know her, but I know a friend who plays music with me, and he knows her. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm realizing more and more, and that's why I like about the Black Renaissance event is that it's bringing all those different sections of the community together for one event to highlight Black artists.
Right.
And to your point as well, Zach, and to add more to the discussion about the invitation. The reason why some of these artists aren't more apparent and available is the invitation, just the opportunity to be welcome in that space. As you were saying, you know, some of those usual suspects, yes, if they're in our immediate sphere of influence and we always see them, then we count on those individuals to be representational. Unlike going out of our sphere and finding these contacts, as Sean-Louis has done and curated, to go, oh, I'm not really familiar with the hip-hop scene, but maybe I can speak to a friend who is, and then there we go. There goes that outlet, that opportunity, that invitation, access. So many of these artists just need access, and we felt that with a venue that normally the artists don't find themselves in, and normally these type of events aren't in these type of venues, why not put these two things together and see what can come out of it? And wow, there you go. It's community. It's culture.
I was doing some quick math. I don't know if you guys know the exact statistics, but Tucson's about 500,000 people. If the Black community is 4%, that's 20,000 to 30,000 people, which I mean, 4% sounds a lot smaller than 30,000 people.
Yeah. And statistically, it's actually lower because that's from our 2010 U.S. Census where we get that 4%. We actually haven't revisited that number because it's actually lower here locally.
Yeah.
We're looking more closely to 3.6, 3.7. And the usual statistic and demographic of those individuals are with the university or on the base. So
that is interesting.
They're moving. They're fluid, you know.
A lot of transients, yeah. So people who are actually living inside Tucson who are from the Black community is actually a lot less than that 3.6%.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm looking forward to the census. I know that was a kind of a wonky.
No, me too. Aside, be honest with you, me too.
There's so much about Tucson that we've assumed to be true because we're working off of almost 10-year-old, you know, data. So we'll get kind of a refresh in 2020, and that's going to be a good thing. Kind of bouncing back and forth between micro, macro, small picture, big picture. You talked about the first two nights of Black Renaissance. What does it look like to close out May? What's coming up this Saturday, and what's the Saturday after that?
Oh man, I'm getting excited just talking about it. Okay, so this Saturday, May 18th, from 8 to 10 p.m. at Hotel McCoy, we'll be doing Black Museum. It is highlighting Black artists, sculptors, muralists, painters, photographers, anything to do with kind of fine arts, and it's be cool. We're going to curate it in a certain way that is, I don't give out too many details, man, but it's going to be tight. I promise you, it's going to be awesome.
My goodness, Carl Eugene will be joining us.
I'm saying, I'm getting excited. You see my face right now, but it's just like Carl.
Carl hardly ever showcases his work. He usually does private, intimate gatherings. So the fact that he's able to do public work with us and show the community his art is going to be an amazing opportunity.
Fiona, I found Fiona randomly at a Cultivate, and I was like, wow. Her stuff is absolutely next level. I'm saying it's next level stuff, and there's gems inside the desert that, you know, from the Black community that I'm just like, wow, we gotta celebrate you. You're doing such an amazing high level job with your artistry that like there's no reason why you shouldn't be the top artist.
And then our
Tucson.
Last Saturday, May 25th, is live music, so it'll be an awesome live concert feel and vibe. With artists coming down from Phoenix, Sean-Louis can speak to Black Caesar.
Black Caesar is a two-piece rock and roll band. They're like, they rock, man. It's like, yeah, just like cool. Like, they, like
when you said Black Caesar, I was not thinking that.
You think of the movie?
I was like, I was not thinking the next words out of your mouth would be a two-person rock and roll band.
No.
Just being honest.
Yeah. They're dope. They're dope. And Street Blues Family, Ray Murph. And the crew, they're going to be coming down, and they're going to be playing they're dope. They do Magic Wednesdays at Hotel Congress every Wednesday, and they pack out the place. Same, these gyms inside the desert, and none of people You know, downtown scene may know Street Blues Family, but anyone outside the downtown scene in Tucson community may not know about them. And they are just unreal. All the musicians are pro-level musicians. And I say pro-level, I mean, like, they study their craft. They know exactly what they're doing kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? They're just extremely high level. I will be performing as well with my band.
All right. I listen to your music, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I do. I haven't told you that before, but...
So you listen to it regularly?
Well, I've listened to a lot of your music.
Oh, cool. Sorry, guys.
I need to become a regular listener. I will subscribe so that I know when things come out. But I know what you do. I've listened.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. People should check you out. I like what you do.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So it's just gonna be really crazy night. We do have some surprises. I got a couple emails recently from other musicians inside Tucson who are, again, high level, amazing musicians, artists that are gonna be join us on May 25th. We may even bring up some people from the hip hop night. I'm not gonna tell you who, but it's just gonna be a really cool event to close it out and just really celebrate what we all accomplished together as a community.
That's fantastic. And so I grew up on what used to be, it's not anymore the north side. I grew up, I went to Mountain View High School, and so that's more Marana Unified. It's, mm-hmm. like, it's right up there, kind of off Cortero. So it's not north side anymore, but I grew up north side. And I remember how intimidating downtown would feel. And yeah. I just want to highlight one more time that if you attend this event, you get kind of the downtown urban music feel, mm-hmm. but you don't have to deal with the details of downtown. I know Ashley's downtown hat is crying right now, but downtown can feel confusing if you're not down there a lot.
Right.
Hotel McCoy is right off of the frontage road.
Yeah.
I mean, tons of parking, right off of I-10, super easy to get to, not intimidating at all in the downtown area. It's a great venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. People who are not from downtown scene, I think you would like the open space and the way that the artist curated at Hotel McCoy on their end. The space is very inviting, and it's Tucson inclusive, not just downtown scene.
Right. Wonderful. Is there? I have one more question, and it's about Ashley's shirt. But I want to make sure that we've covered Black Renaissance in the way that you guys hoped for.
Definitely. I just want to speak that this is the first year. This will be a reoccurring event.
Yeah.
So keep a watch out for Black Renaissance 2020.
Cool.
It's gonna be cool. Next year we are already working on the plans, and which is. I'm just surprised at that too. I mean, just to be honest, people come up and go, we think you should do it X, Y, and Z, and we want to help.
Yeah.
Because they see the response and how again, the community wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And so next year, man, mm-hmm. you guys get ready. It's going to be cool.
How do we spotlight this artistry throughout the year? Have you thought about the ways that beyond these more focused months or events that you can just keep trickling out, hey, you don't hear about this guy, but he's been here for 10, 15 years and he's tearing it up and you've never heard of him, here he is.
The Black Renaissance Instagram, which is Black Ren online, and then the website will continually have the artists that we've been promoting for that year up, as well as there's a radio show called Blacks on KXEI, run by an amazing gentleman named KP. He's been doing this.
That's KP.
Yeah, no, and I want to say this too. Like, Black Renaissance is not the first person, not first people to try to curate, you know, artistry. A ton of other people have been doing an amazing job for years beyond. I want to give them credit and give them honor. Extended Dunbar, Hush with Sam Brown, Alexis Bourgeois. They've been doing just great level stuff and bringing the Black community together. And Black Renaissance is just another aspect of
innovation.
So yeah, if people do want to know, there's that resource. Hush, a social club. Is this every second Sunday today? If you look up Hush Social Club, it's a black social club on the east side of Tucson, 22nd and Wilmot. They also spotlight black artists. But again, Black Renaissance online, blackrenaissance.online will have all the artists up, and we'll be continually promoting what they're doing, as well as their Instagram will be integrating to the community as people get the chance to see what's going on with the Black community.
That's awesome.
And to Zach's point about this shirt, the hashtag the Dunbar shirt. Please support the Dunbar. Go to the website.
Yes.
You can purchase your very own hashtag the Dunbar shirt. And especially today being Black Friday, you'll be supporting a locally owned organization and nonprofit organization. So please do purchase your hashtag the Dunbar, and also follow hashtag the Dunbar to get more of an idea of the mission statement and value of uplifting the Black community and keeping the heritage and the history and awareness for the youth that are coming.
Yeah,
I wanted to hit on that real quick as we close, maybe like a quick snippet of a history. Let me set it up for 1 second. But I know KP. I've had KP on this show. We talked about his entrepreneurship, his design thinking.
He's unreal.
I didn't know that he had a radio. this is to my point is I'm interacting with these folks a lot all the time, and there's this piece of artistry and history and culture that it doesn't get expressed or talked about as much. So. Yeah.
It's our community. It's our culture. It's something about Black individuals and being humble. There's so many of us that are doing so many amazing things in and around Arizona and internationally that we're so humble about these things. We just kind of interact with each other and go, oh yeah, I just started a business. Or, oh yeah, I'm flying to Europe to open my new label or album release.
Just call me out right now, guys.
You know, I just had a book release, you know, that's going to be on the bestsellers list. So a lot of us in the community are just so humble about this.
Stop doing that.
We need to be proud.
No, stop. So I'm a part of, I know we're going off on a little bit. I don't want to keep you guys much longer, but I want to cover this. I'm a part of a leadership institute right now called the Hispanic Leadership Institute. Mm-hmm. And it's a group that takes 10 weeks to look at issues in Tucson, Southern Arizona, that are impacting the Latino community. And then they help people that look like me get more woke.
That's dope.
And the Hispanic community, Latino community, does the same thing. Awesome, incredible things. And they're too dang humble to talk about it. And I say this from my heart because I care deeply. We need to be sharing these stories. This is super important. Yeah. Stop being humble. We need to know. We need to know. I don't want to kind of use a lot of this language too much right now because it's getting to stuff that we can't tackle because we're almost to the end. But I think kind of mainstream culture, if you know what I mean, is good at talking about what's going on and what's happening. And we need to be sharing these stories. I hope you feel my heart on that.
No, please.
And,
no.
And anything that I can do to be sharing kind of this tapestry of culture and community in Tucson.
You are, Zach.
Let me know.
This is
I know.
You're doing it.
But between this Black Renaissance and the next one, keep me updated.
For sure.
If you ever find anybody that you think would be great in this venue, like, let me know.
Definitely.
Sounds great.
Let me know.
I already know people in my head right now.
We need to tell each other's stories. I went on that rant. I'm sorry, Ashley. The 1 minute story of the Dunbar School. I work in communities downtown. We know about the 4,000 years of Native and tribal and Latino history. We don't know a lot about the Black history. A 1 minute quick look at the Dunbar School. It's an important part of Tucson's history.
You got it. This was the school that was segregated. You're looking at the 30s and 40s. So these individuals, these children were put together in this segregated school. The only opportunity they had to education before the school was built, these same children found themselves in rat-infested, poor plumbing churches where they could study and learn. So it was definitely a huge accomplishment to have a brick-and-mortar location where students had proper access to education. This was a segregated school. So the fact that it's important that we highlight it and not look over this history is reminding us that we need to stay together and uplift each other. Because what happened after segregation, it was integrated. They decided to change the name from Dunbar, which was historic Black poet, to a gentleman by the name of, it slips me now, I believe he was a superintendent at the time.
Yes, you're right. I can't remember the name either.
I'm happy that it's back to be the Dunbar, because again, we have to make sure that we are aware of our heritage and history. So now this location is a cultural center. It's a sounding area for individuals to come together and showcase themselves and come together in community. By no means are we trying to neglect other individuals and community members, but this is the only historic place that has not been mowed down here locally that we can still look to and go historically. This is where our people learned and studied. So again, I know it's a lot to put in a minute. I focus those to please go over to the Dunbar Pavilion. creativeworkers.org and check out the organizations and history and learn more about what we're doing now as a cultural center for people to come and gather and have their events.
Super. That was fantastic. You should be proud of that, that overview. And we'll maybe have you and Debbie Chess and other folks back on to talk about it. Jean-Louis, Ashley, thank you guys for coming on.
Of course, man. Thanks.
Talk about Black Renaissance. If you're listening and interested, tomorrow, 8 to 10, free, Hotel McCoy. This Saturday and next Saturday finishes out your May series of spotlighting and showcasing Black artists in Arizona, mm-hmm. and especially in Tucson. I appreciate you guys so much for so many reasons. Thanks for coming on the air. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Zach.
And Tucson, we're not done yet. We are closing in on the 12 o'clock hour. Come on back after the break. Closing thoughts, wishing you a great weekend. And then I'm going to cue up Buckmaster. Buckmaster's got a good show coming up as well. Tucson, come on back after the break. Tucson, welcome back to the show. We are closing in on the end of the week together. Thank you for listening. Man, just had a great interview with Jean-Louis and Ashley from Black Renaissance, a May series of events at Hotel McCoy, showcasing and spotlighting the artists of the Black community in Tucson. And it made me think of something. This will be my closing thought is that Tucson is a dominantly bicultural, right? That's just the numbers. It's dominantly Anglo, dominantly Latino. It is nearly half and half, just broadly, nearly half and half. And so I think we know a lot about the history and culture of those communities in Tucson. But there are some rich traditions and histories and cultures as well that have made up part of Tucson's history that I am continually learning about. And if you were listening to, if you just joined us or you were listening to the last few minutes, Ashley gave a brief review of the Dunbar School, which was actually Tucson's first segregated school and then desegregated school for Black children in Tucson. An amazing story there. Now it is a cultural center. But I thought I would also throw in a really interesting piece of trivia, and that is, and I live near one. There's a house near me where I live on the west side of Tucson that used to be a Chinese market, right? So did you know that by the 1940s, approximately 100 Chinese grocery stores graced the streets of downtown Tucson? 100. It's incredible. And of course, in the same period, Tucson Chinese residents were proud participants in the U.S. military service during World War II. So when I was talking to Ashley, I remember that when I first moved into my neighborhood on the west side, I was doing a tour, and a guy said, "Oh yeah, by the way, that there used to be a Chinese market. And it's now somebody's home." But at its height in the 1940s, there were 100 Chinese restaurants or Chinese markets or businesses, Chinese grocery stores rather, in the downtown area. So demographically today, our top percentage in Tucson are Anglo. Then right below that are Latino. But there are so many cultures and cultural stories that have made up Tucson to talk about. And I just give myself homework. I would love to find someone who was a part of the Asian American Chinese culture in Tucson, because it was not minimal. In fact, there were immigrants from China came over for first mining, and then when the mining industry shifted back in the early part of the 1900s, then they shifted over to kind of farming and agriculture and goods and services. In fact, and I really want to try this, if anyone listening knows how to make it or knows someone who does, they popularized Chinese chorizo. And I actually have the recipe, apparently, because someone did document it. But just an amazing tapestry in Tucson's culture. And no matter how big or small, Jean-Louis and Ashley and I were talking about this, no matter how big or small today those cultures and communities are in Tucson, it is always a good thing to have areas and times and opportunities to celebrate that and to come together around that. So again, Ashley's story kind of spurred on Spurred on this story about 100 Chinese grocery stores in downtown Tucson. Let's see. I'm getting some kind of social media engagement around that as well. I have a listener saying that the Jerry Lee Ho Market, if anyone remembers, the Jerry Lee Ho Market was a very famous market in Barrio Viejo, which is kind of just east of the community I was talking about, where there is a home that was formerly a Chinese restaurant. So cool stories there. Tucson, that about wraps us up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging. We covered a lot of ground today. We talked to Leah Marquez Peterson in the first hour about the USMCA agreement. Go to kvoy.com/podcasts to hear that. I also want to shout out a great sponsor of our show, Adam Summers from the Summers Financial Management. He helps both those who are wanting to do financial planning, but then also wealth management, figure out strategies to do so. What I love about this guy is he's used his own strategies that have increased his net worth from $250,000 over a period of time to $3 million. Just a regular guy who's interested in planning and finance, knows what he's doing. It's worked for him, and now he gets to help other people do it. The other thing I love about this guy is he'll spend an hour with you for free just to figure out if he can help you and if it is a good working relationship. So go to Summers, search Summers Financial Management, and on the website you can get that hour with him, and I definitely suggest that you do that. Thank you to Summers Financial Management for supporting the show. And stick around, Tucson. Dan Shearer will be hosting the Buckmaster Show today. The first three segments will be the Friday Roundtable, journalists covering different items and themes around the city. And then Dan Gibson calls in for Weekend Watch. Actually, It's Dan Gibson calling in for the Weekend Watch. So a great show lined up for you on Buckmaster. It is a privilege to hand off from Wake Up Tucson and then to hand off the baton from here to Buckmaster every day here on 1030 The Voice. We'll be back on Monday to share more stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. So we're about on this show. See you at 10 on Monday here on 1030 The Voice, Tucson. Go enjoy something before the weather gets way too hot. We'll be back. Take care.